And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, 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 and welcome to The Political Show right here on XFM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl, Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix, and with me in studio we have...
Gavin Enston.
Pastor Gavin Enston.
And we're on cameras.
Yes, you can see us now. You don't have to
movie,
hear us
the
anymore.
Movie shows had movies for a while.
Yes.
But politics should also have...
Yes.
You know, live feeds or something, I don't
definitely,
know.
Definitely.
So welcome to anyone who's watching us.
You finally can see the faces behind the voice.
Yeah. And now you can see why people tell me I have a good face for radio. No, that's a joke.
Right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is...
Hot politics.
Hot politics.
And there's no black knot.
No. Not yet. Yes. He's going to be here soon.
Maybe when he sees the cameras.
Maybe. Okay. And this week's Hot Politics, we are looking at surveillance and digital identity. What does that have to do with politics? Well, there is a company that has been... The initial funding, we actually found out, came from the CIA's venture, Capital Om. And there is an interview that we watched on YouTube that basically discusses this. Pascal, do you want to go into more detail with that?
Yeah, we've actually spoken about this lady before. It's Whitney Webb. And she's actually a journalist. I think she lives in South America now somewhere. Mm. With her husband. I think they got kids as well. And when you see some of the things she talks about, I think we can see why she's living somewhere in South America. Because she's talking about the surveillance state, you know. There's a lot of talk about digital IDs, even here in South Africa, because the Democratic Alliance is now in charge of Home Affairs, which handles IDs and that. And they're talking about having digital IDs and all of these sorts of things. And, you know, they're also talking about digital money, programmable money, you know. Yeah. All of these sorts of things. And the thing is, that's fun because it's convenient. But if the people that are putting it in are evil, it gives them way too much control.
Yeah.
And, you know, I spent a large part of my pre-pastor work experience as a software programmer, software application programmer. And I know that using computers, you can totally control people.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about technology, but I'm not excited about the people in control of technology.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of smoke screens and things that are going on. And we've asked the question before, how did Elon Musk get so rich?
Yeah.
And when you listen to today's show, we're talking here about people that were involved with Elon Musk in the old days that are involved with the stuff that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
So, you know, what does the surveillance state mean? What does it mean for you? And the most important thing is, if we end up with a surveillance state, how do you get out of it?
That is a question to be asked. This is what the show is going to be about. It's going to be hot as always, because this is The Political Show right here on XFM. Radio has never been better, and Christ politics is...
Hot politics.
Hot politics.
We help distributors grow their sales by over 15% in the first 90 days with our automated mobile software solution. RapidTrade is used by over 16,000 users worldwide, and we process over 120,000 transactions per day on both iOS and Android. From app ordering and management to e-commerce and even van sales, or electronic proof of delivery, we've got your business covered. Call us for a demo on 011-493-9755 or email us at sales@rapidtrade.com. Go on, make your customer a happy one today by getting onto RapidTrade.
Share your thoughts with us. Send in your questions or simply tell us what you love most about Active FM
on the WhatsApp line 084-628-6060. Radio has never been better.
Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and YouTube.
So we watched an interview between Whitney Webb, And was it Jamie Tree? Well, there was an interview on YouTube that we watched on Jamie Tree, and basically speaking about government spying, the shutdown of after the public outrage, and all of these things, and the raising concerns behind the surveillance and digital identity that they're wanting to bring into what's the society. And before I go into what they spoke about, one of the companies, well, the company that is in question here is called Palantir Technologies. Palantir Technologies is a data analytics.
I just want to say, people need to listen very carefully to what Giggs is about to say. And I want you to think now, okay? So if you've been doing something, I'll stop. I want you to spend the next 3 minutes or however long Giggs takes to say this. And I want you to listen to what she's saying. And remember, she's talking about a so-called private company.
Private company, yes.
And listen to who relies on this private company. It's actually frightening.
It's crazy, yes. So Palantir Technology is a data analytics and artificial intelligence company. And it specializes in big data surveillance and intelligence software. It's known for working closely with government intelligence agencies and corporations on data-driven decision-making, often in areas like national security, law enforcement, and finance. I mean, you know, with that type of introduction, it's okay. Fine. I mean, most of the companies are like that.
Yes.
That's awesome. There's a private company
that company.
Data-driven decision-making.
What's it, Palantir Church? I joined the church. That's how nice it sounds.
But yeah. But now when we start looking at the background and history of Palantir, firstly, Whitney Webb actually mentions the fact that it was there was a public outroar with the original name when it first came out. So what they did is that they shut it down, inverted commas. Oh, I can do my inverted commas and people can see it now. Shut it down, inverted commas, and brought it back as a private company. And she mentions this word. She says that because people will invest in a private company, you know. People generally don't invest in companies that are government-owned and things like that because they don't trust the government. So people will invest in private companies. And so they brought it back as a private company and called it Palantir. And it was founded in 2003. And the founders include...
Yeah, it was called Total Information Awareness.
Yes, it was called Total Information Awareness. I wouldn't invest in something that's called Total Information Awareness.
And it was recreated in 2004.
Yeah. And what's this?
That's when Congress defunded it.
Yeah.
So then what happened was Congress defunded it, but then they've got these black accounts, like these dark accounts, whatever. The stuff that doesn't get scrutinized, you know, because it's... got to protect national security interests of the United States and state secrets and all of that sort of stuff. So then they would have funded it out of one of these...
accounts and stuff.
One of these accounts that no one knows about.
But anyways, so the founders include Peter Thiel, who is the co-founder of PayPal and an early investor in Facebook.
With? Who was he involved with?
With... what's his name? Donald Trump's right-hand man.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, yes. Then there's Alex Karp, who is the current CEO. Then we've got Stephen Cohen, Nathan Gettings, and Joe Lonsdale. The headquarters are in Denver, Colorado. And then the initial funding. Initial funding was... they received early backing from the CIA's...
Okay, this is a private company, guys.
Capital
the Central Intelligence Agency of America.
Mm-hmm.
The same one that some people say shot John F. Kennedy. That same CIA.
That same CIA.
Funded these guys.
Yeah. So, and the InQtel, which signals a strong link between Palantir and the U.S. intelligence community. And what do they do? So, like I mentioned, they specialize in data integration and predictive analytics, meaning they collect, analyze, and visualize massive amounts of data to predict behaviors, trends, and threats. And their products include the Palantir Gotham, which is used by governments, law enforcement, and the military to analyze intelligence track threats.
So now there's a private company.
Yeah.
That if the intelligence services are looking at data, and the CEO of this private company doesn't like you, you're telling me that there won't be at least a temptation for them.
Yeah.
To use that information to frame you, and the next thing the CIA SWAT teams you.
Mm-hmm. That's basically what they say.
I mean, I want people just
to think
about this for a second.
Just the depth of this, how deep it can go.
This is crazy.
Yeah. So they help intelligent agencies collect data from multiple sources and identify patterns. Yes.
And how do they get access to those multiple sources?
Because of the
exactly. Now is that legal? Including on American citizens.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely on American citizens.
And I'm sure they're using things like Facebook, TikTok, Twitter.
So they use Palantir Gotham for mass surveillance.
Gotham. Now, it's got the name Gotham in it. You know, if you looked at the Batman movies.
Yeah.
Gotham's a bad place, guys.
It is. It's not.
Why they call it Palantir Gotham?
Yeah.
So they collect all this data. Why do they call it Gotham? Just think.
Counterterrorism and cyber defense. Then another product that they have is.
So I'm coming across a bit strong today for these guys now that's on camera, but it's like frustrating.
It is. Palantir Foundry is designed for corporate and financial clients to analyze. Foundry. Yes. To analyze large scale data sets for fraud detection, logistics, supply chain optimization. It's used by major banks, healthcare systems, and Fortune 500 companies. And some companies use Foundry to predict employee behavior. Okay, so Palantir Foundry is meant to be for financial.
So now you work for some big bank or something.
Yeah.
Or Walmart or some big company. And they're busy analyzing you with this Foundry thing.
Mm.
Palantir Foundry.
Yeah.
And they're using this to predict your behavior.
Mm. As an employee.
I mean, I'm freaked out.
I'm freaked out as well.
I'm freaked. I mean, okay, so now we're firing you. Now, because Foundry says you're going to do X, Y, and Z. And you're going to lose it and come in here with a pistol one day and you're going to shoot people.
That is a serious, serious ethical concern. That gives serious ethical concerns. And then the third product that they have is Palantir Apollo, which is a cloud-based operating system that helps military and intelligence agencies deploy AI-based surveillance tools in real time.
Now, what do you think, so?
Yeah.
There's Gotham, right, which is the intelligence.
Yeah.
Okay, then you've got Foundry, which is in the private corporate world.
Yeah.
And then what's this last one?
Apollo.
Apollo.
Yeah.
So that's like the guys who are flying to the moon. Mm. That's the military.
That's the military.
So again. Palantir is the single organization that has all information from all of these sources.
From every single industry, actually.
From intelligence all the way to military.
To military, yeah.
Through all of the corporates.
Everything. They have information on.
So they're the most powerful people in America.
Literally.
More powerful than the president.
Yeah.
The president's an idiot compared to them. Well, he literally is because he doesn't have the data. Yeah. They have the data.
No, that's true. That's true. And Apollo is used to deploy AI-based surveillance tools.
Looking at
in
this
real
now,
time.
I think Whitney Webb was too soft in this video.
So obviously, what's this? When we look at who uses it, government intelligent agencies such as the CIA.
I'm getting a sick feeling. I mean, I knew things were bad, but
it's quite hectic. Yeah.
Yo.
So government intelligence agencies such as the CIA use it, the FBI, NSA, Department of Homeland Security. Then we've got the Pentagon.
Now, how is it they got all of this information, right? And guys are running across the river.
I don't think they don't know about it.
No, obviously they know about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it makes a joke of the whole thing.
It is. It does. So then we've got the Pentagon and the U.S. military. We also have the U.K.'s MI5 and European intelligence agencies that use it as well. And then ICE, which is Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Yeah, in America.
Now, I just want to ask you. So now there's this big arguments going on between the U.S. and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think those arguments are anything other than a show?
No.
When you look at how deeply they're working together.
You know
together.
What I always think about is the fact
Palantir
that
Palantir has all the US information and all the European information. And then they probably have a relationship in the background somewhere with China.
Literally. I mean, think about the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
And what they show us in front. But then we don't know what happens behind closed doors. I mean, they even say that on their website that the World Economic Forum, that whole weekend is so that governments can discuss things that we don't know about what they're discussing. So in the
are all supposed to be democratically elected governments.
Yes, exactly. So we obviously see the fights and apparently they're against each other. But
yeah, but you only see them on the steps.
Exactly.
You don't see what's happening in the real meetings.
When they have the calls and things like that. Then we've got corporate corporation and financial institutions such as JP Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, and major banks as well. Then we've got Airbus and Fortune 500 companies. Now, the future concerns and speculations is that Palantir is looking at expanding into the healthcare, finance, and ESG, which is environmental, social, and governance compliance.
Okay, so now, you know, we've had the show, I don't know, quite some time ago.
Yeah.
When the South African Parliament passed the climate change bill.
Mm-hmm.
And ESG, you know, environment, social, governance.
Yeah.
So this is going to be about carbon credits, controlling the carbon.
Exactly.
And if you control carbon, you control life.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I was listening to someone else, I think it was Glenn Beck, and he's talking about, so what happens is some guy, maybe, you know, like Peter Thiel, comes and buys carbon credits in Colombia.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, a landowner who's got trees on, Peter Thiel's bought the carbon from those trees.
Yes, that's actually what she brings up in this interview.
Yes, now all of a sudden you've got the situation, well, what about that guy and the ownership of his land? He loses the ownership because some other dude in America owns the carbon. Mm. What about the Colombian government?
Exactly.
And now the carbon, the climate change bill is law in South Africa.
Mm.
So that means if someone comes and buys carbon credits over your house or whatever, you're done.
Yeah.
That some person sitting in London or somewhere is controlling and owns what's going on with you through they own the carbon.
Yep. Yeah. So the expropriation bill will be the least of our problems.
Well, the expropriation bill, you see, the carbon thing is going to be the reason why they need to expropriate the property from you, which is not just land.
Mm-mm.
It's your pension fund, it's your bank account, exactly. It's your car, it's anything
your assets.
You own.
Yeah, your assets. So basically with that information, what Whitney Webb spoke about, and she actually mentioned a few people and organizations, if you look at the World Economic Forum, they advocate for things like digital IDs as part of the Great Reset vision. Then we've got Microsoft.
Yeah, but it's a bit more than advocate now. Advocate was a few years ago.
Yeah, actually, true.
You know, this is, you know, don't China already have these digital IDs?
They
do. And I'm sure there are other countries which have it as well.
Mm.
South Africa, there's an initiative going now, especially since the government of national unity and the DA is controlling home affairs,
yeah,
to push to digitize.
I mean, if you look at, so obviously I use foreign documents. We used to get them printed. Now we no longer get them printed. It's still the same document, but then it's emailed to us. They don't give physical copies of the documents anymore. The only thing that we get a physical copy of is the ID. But our statement is now emailed to us. So I feel like, especially with the foreign nationals, they can start with them. Where when you're going to renew your thing next time, instead of actually getting a document,
they're going to give you a digital
ID to say that you're in the country.
That's why they allowed all of you in.
Exactly. Well, there's more to that, but yes.
No, I think that reasons like that is a big reason.
Yeah.
I mean, why would a government, because I don't know how your family came in, but many of the people who came in, because there was electric fencing around our borders, and Nelson Mandela switched them off. Why would you do that? Unless you've got a plan like a few decades on.
Yeah.
You want to force this digital ID, and you know that the saving population doesn't just accept anything.
That's true.
So that you know they're so not true. Going to, because you know South Africans, whether they're white or black, they're all the same, they're stubborn.
Yeah.
But now you let all these other guys in, and they would probably be stubborn in their own nation too.
Mm.
But now all of a sudden they're desperate.
Mm.
And if they say, you can get your papers if you do it this way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, please.
And then obviously I think I spoke a few episodes as well ago where I spoke about the fact that on LinkedIn, in order to verify your LinkedIn, you need a whole digital ID and stuff. Yeah, so that's obviously...
Right. I forgot about that. That's getting worse.
That targets your
so they're linking
business people and stuff like that.
They're linking into Palantir.
Probably. Then you've got tech giants like Microsoft, Google, MasterCard, IBM. I mean, these are people, these are not just ordinary organizations. These are organizations that have control over a lot of things in the different industries who are working on digital ID systems and have partnerships with governments. And then you've got the United Nations.
So number one,
Nations.
You've got all of these partnerships with governments. And now, if you listen to guys like Rob Hertzoff here in South Africa and all of these guys, they're all advocating for private-public partnerships.
Mm.
And the ANC is so terrible, the ANC this, the ANC that. And I believe it was a plan for the ANC to look bad, because then it discredits government. And then to say the government can't do any of this stuff.
Mm.
So you need private guys to come in and fix it. This is what they're all advocating.
Yeah.
And then people obviously agrees because things are bad and it sounds good.
Yeah.
And but then in the meantime, you've got these private guys who are not elected that control everything.
Yeah.
And they're going to control where you can go, where you can move.
Yeah. And then you've got the United Nations, our favorite people.
Yeah.
I'm saying that sarcastically. But our favorite people, the United Nations and the World Bank, promote digital ID programs, especially in developing nations.
Yeah.
Now, that raises huge concerns, because why are you promoting digital IDs or programs such as digital IDs or whatever in nations that aren't yet fully developed? I mean, you know, countries like South Africa, majority of the people won't be able to have access to things like digital IDs or all of these digital stuff. We had the conversation when we had the show on how we're going into a cashless society and things like that. So a lot of this raises a lot of concerns.
This is like 3-4 years ago. Yeah. We spoke about this stuff.
But now it doesn't just end with digital IDs. They're also speaking about digital currencies, also known as CBDS, which is central bank digital currency. So what are your thoughts on what Whitney Webb has spoken about and what we're actually seeing now?
One of the things, if you're excited about Donald Trump and Elon Musk, don't watch Whitney Webb, because she's going to smash your joy.
Mm.
But she's talking about stuff which we've been talking about.
Mm.
You know, we've been talking about it for a long time. But she's done the research.
Yeah.
She starts giving names. She starts saying it's this guy, it's this guy, it's this guy. She has zero trust for Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you ever trusted Elon Musk.
No, I stopped trusting him when he went from an advocate against AI to actually wanting to. So when he started speaking about Neuralink. Remember before Neuralink, he wasn't for AI. He spoke on the negative of AI. And then when he started developing Neuralink, that's when he started saying that, hey, I mean, AI can be used for good in a sense. When you look at Internet of Things and all of this stuff, it can be used for, but unfortunately, human nature and history tells us a different story. So when he started with that whole thing, I was just like, I don't trust
him. There was someone that wants to stick a cable in your brain. Mm. You know, are you happy to go sit and they drill into your brain?
No.
That's what
I've watched too many movies.
No, but that's what they're talking
about. Yeah.
They're going to drill this thing into your brain.
And it's going to teach you languages. I mean, the concept is cool, but then the thought of someone controlling, having access to a very sensitive part is very scary.
Now, here's the thing. They say private-public partnerships.
Mm.
But if you take Palantir,
mm.
It's not a private organization, it's mm-hmm. public, because their initial capital funding outlay was from the CIA.
Mm.
So I'm sorry, to my mind, you cannot say that these guys are not related to the government. These guys are all controlled by the same people. The other thing, I mean, you mentioned Microsoft, who else?
So we've got Microsoft, we've got Google, we've got MasterCard, we've got IBM. We also, I didn't mention these people, but we've got BlackRock. She mentioned BlackRock. Mm. She mentioned Vanguard as well, and the World Economic Forum.
Okay. So when you start looking at that, take Google and Microsoft. They're supposed to be competitors.
Yeah.
But they're working together.
Mm.
And they have the same aim.
Yeah.
So why are all these people working on the same project?
I remember we keep going back to the different shows that we did, because we've been speaking about this for a very long time. But remember, there was that one show where we actually sat and looked at how all of these companies are linked. Because if you look at, is it Vanguard or BlackRock, which is an investment company, when you look at the people who are linked to that are people who are involved in Microsoft, are people who are involved in Google and stuff like that. So as much as there are different companies that seem to be against each other, they all have one common vision, which is the Great Reset, according to World Economic Forum. Yeah.
Yes. So who's behind them? I mean, there's a nice Google book that I read in the mid to late 2000s about Google.
Mm.
And at that time, I bought a hook, line, and sinker. This is how these guys started.
Yeah.
But, you know, even Bill Gates, how did he start? How did Microsoft become so big? How did Bill Gates outdo IBM? I mean, IBM was a colossus in the 1990s.
Mm.
And yet Bill Gates killed them with Windows. How is that possible?
Yeah.
If you're not seriously backed by these people.
Yeah. So it's a serious thing. So the stuff that she basically raised concerns over was, so it was the ESG, which is the environment, social, and governance. It was the carbon credit market. The fact that they're wanting to introduce digital currencies, the digital IDs and the surveillance and stuff like that. And all of these, if you think of the... if you think of the very, not the foundation, the what they're showing us, I don't know what word to use, but what they're showing us, when you think of it, it's not
just an illusion.
It's not a bad thing when you think when what they put out in public, just like when you look at the seven goals of this whole carbon thing and stuff like that, when you read through it, it's okay. But when you start looking deep into it, you start seeing who's involved and how far back it goes, it raises really, really high concerns because it opens up a possibility for a controlled society. You end up asking questions in terms of how far can the government go, how far can these people go in terms of controlling people. And then those that get affected the most are the ones that have the least knowledge, the least capabilities to do these things, and stuff like that. Yeah, so those are my final thoughts on that. What are your final thoughts?
Yeah, just to mention, you know, for me it's been a long time, but there's a plan, and during COVID people were talking about the mark of the beast system and things like that.
Mm.
But for my mind, there's a plan to get these controls in, and then by the time people realize what's happening, you're going to end up with a situation whereby it's too late to do anything about it.
Mm.
And the problem is, if you get the surveillance state implemented that these guys are envisioning, there will be no way to get out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And obviously with AI techniques and that's what's allowing this stuff to be possible.
Yeah.
And so how many problems are we seeing in the world which are eminently fixable, like the Ukraine war?
Mm.
Like the traffic lights that are being stolen here in Joburg.
Ish.
And they don't get fixed.
Exactly, yeah.
But the funny thing is, when they want to get something right, they get it right.
Yes.
Just like this.
Exactly.
So, yeah, maybe I should say, beware the one that trusts Biden. And beware the one that trusts Trump.
Ish.
In the Lord Jesus alone you shall trust.
Amen. In Luke chapter 6, verse 22 to 23, it says, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in the day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets."
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, when you look at the people that are in control, there's nothing good about what they're doing. Mm. There shouldn't be poor people today. If you look at the technologies we have.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have an energy crisis if you look at the technologies we have.
Mm.
And so I can go on. I mean, I'm just going to give you one example. You know, people keep talking about the shortage of oil.
Mm.
And I remember seeing something on a Christian program many years ago, a Christian TV channel, where they were manufacturing oil. I might even have mentioned it somewhere on the show before.
Mm.
And that they were using the refuse, you know, the same stuff on a farm that you'd used to make compost with.
Mm-hmm.
They were using all of these things, and they were doing some high pressure thing with it or something like that, and they were producing two tanker loads, you know, those petrol tankers that go around and put fuel at the filling stations.
Mm-hmm.
They were producing two tankers, two full tankers a day of this oil.
Yeah.
And the person still had a camera there that was set up outside the gate. And you see this massive oil truck, you know, driving out of a farm. So, you know, the lies that we're being told are massive.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you know, when you look at everything, you cannot believe anything that comes from this world. You need to put your eyes, you know, onto the Lord. And, you know, when you think about the Lord Jesus, the last thing I wanted to say, we talk about oil scarcity. Well, the one time the disciples are saying, Jesus, you're really long-winded, eh? You've been teaching far too long here. And the people, yeah, we're far from any town. You need to send them home now so they can go and eat. Please, Jesus, you can't be irresponsible here. So Jesus says, no, you feed them. Because Jesus has no limits. And so if we trust him, we're not going to be making decisions out of fear.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to be making them out of trust. So what I want to encourage everyone to do is to realize there's no political savior that's coming along. But a revival will seriously change things.
Yeah. Amen. This has been an amazing show, as always, right here on The Political Show on Active FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl, Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio, we've had
Gavin Inslin.
Pastor Gavin Inslin, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.